welcome to the Danny
and Rihanna Show. This is Danny, Rihanna's husband.
And I'm Rihanna, Danny's wife. And this podcast is all about mom and dad finding nerd life balance.
Yes, and you can find us on any podcast platform. You can go on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and other podcast services. Also, you can find us on YouTube. Just search for the Danny and Rihanna Show.
So during our show, we talk about what it's like running a business together, being a new married couple, having a child, and all the while trying to play video games and find a way to work.
It's going to be a lot of fun having these great conversations. And plus, we might have a little couple guests here and there. We'll see. It's going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah. You'll hear about our travels, our excitement over new games and movies that are coming out, and everything in between as we navigate the world of being nerds that actually make a living.
So if you're excited to listen to our conversation, we're going to have brand new episodes every Wednesday.
Follow us on socials in the description box below and join us on our journey.
Ladies and gentlemen, podcasting since 2005. You're listening to Gamertag Radio. With your hosts, podcaster Hall of Famer Danny Pena, the always opinionated Paris Lilly, and from outside of the norm, Peter Toledo. This is Gamertag Radio.
Welcome to Gamertag Radio, episode 1331. This is Danny speaking here, your host, and also my co-host for this episode, the one and only P Production in the effing house.
That's right, and don't you forget it.
Pete Rock or Peter Toledo or Peter, there's always traveling. Shout out to Pete.
Yep.
Yeah, he's not going to be here for a couple weeks.
Yeah, I'll just be going.
Know.
Yeah,
he's on
you got
tour,
me for one last, so one last week of Pete Productions, and then Pete Productions going on hiatus and then coming back beginning of April for the next season of Gamertag Radio 2024.
Yeah, he's gonna be out, and make sure to check his tour dates. He has like an official site.
Yeah, I'll have merch and everything.
So, but no, don't worry, guys. We got some cool stuff coming up. I'm actually going to two places this week, which is coming up soon on Gamertag Radio. That's all I will say. Stay tuned. All right, so. Head over to GamertagRadio.com, post your comments and feedback, listen to our past episodes. Also, you can find us on every podcast app out there. Just search for Gamertag Radio, follow us, subscribe, and also share the content and post a review. Very important, post a review and let us know your thoughts about the show. Also, we were looking for fan mail content, send us questions. And this is how you can contact us.
Send us your feedback or questions. Give us a call at 786-273-7GTR. Email us at fanmail@gamertagradio.com. Or leave a message on speakpipe.com/gamertagradio.
All right, so Pete, how's everything, man? We lost an hour of sleep.
What's this we? I slept just fine. I woke up at 7 o'clock like normal people here in Europe. So
we're not normal?
I didn't lose no sleep.
What's wrong with you?
I'll lose sleep next week when I'm traveling.
Yeah. Okay. All right. By the way, I posted a good one. Last week I posted a poll. You know, for those who are listening, you could go right now to Spotify, go to our Gamertag Radio page and just click on the latest episode. And every week there's a poll. I really don't promote it much, like what it's going to be about. I come up with the questions after I finish editing the episode. But last week I asked our audience, are we headed for a second video game crash? 72.7% said hail to the no, while 27.3% says yes. Pete, your thoughts. Your thoughts on that one.
So the the way you look at it from a business perspective, right? If you go back to, hell, just go right before the pandemic, right? Twitch viewership, YouTube video games, you had Facebook gaming versus Twitch versus Mixer. You had hundreds of millions of dollars being thrown around. Shroud making 60,000, or was it 60 million? Disrespect had 60 million. Oops, I'm sorry. I'm not supposed to say that name on Twitch. Ninja had like a $60 million contract and all these things. And the next thing you know, COVID happened. The presumed bubble had burst on the streaming industry, which I don't think was just yet. I think if anything, it was maybe starting to trend downward. And then because of the pandemic and everybody being stuck at home, some people needing an extra avenue of income and revenue, some people just being bored. But it actually picked back up. And then now, if as you look at it, especially over like the last 2 years in the US predominantly, because that's where a lot of this news is starting to really come from, the gaming industry, the overall revenue dropped from $3.2 billion to $100 million in 2 years. Think about that. That's a lot. It's a lot. That's a lot of scratch, right?
That's a lot, yeah.
Not just that. Just take a look at the major layoffs over the last, we're in March, so over the last 15 months, from Unity to Bethesda, the 343 to Niantic to last week, Microsoft, Activision, Free Radical, Digital Bros, Amazon Games, Ubisoft, Bungie, Epic, every single company, Sony, EA, every gaming company from Riot down to Eidos has all dropped employees. I could do the math right now, but I don't have the energy to put all this into an Excel spreadsheet. But it's a lot of people. I mean, the people that the what was the name of the company that did Destroy All Humans and Destroy All Humans 2, 50% of their workforce gone, right? Companies, whole companies went just closed. There was news of that this morning. I'm sorry, I'm blanking on the name of the gaming company, the developer, but they closed their doors. All their employees unemployed now. So not to say that, you know, it is exactly what's looking at it, but I mean, it's if anything, it's close. There's a good reason. I mean, the bubbles, the burst, it's possible. I mean,
I don't think so, man. I don't think we're ready
for a crash, though. I do think the signs are trending towards it. You see things like, and I know we're going to talk about it, how video games have started to transcend just the console and the TV, right? You're starting to see it expand out into other media. You've got movies and TV stuff that, you know, we're going to talk about. Danny was just at, like, you know, Danny and Paris.
Wait. Don't say it. Don't say it. I know what you're going to say. We're not allowed to talk about it. Don't say it. I know exactly what you're going to say. Just don't say it. Do not say it. Trust me.
Y'all took pictures there.
No. Don't say it.
It's in the chat. Can I use that?
No. Don't say it.
No?
We can't.
You were
both. Oh, wait. Oh, Halo? Yes! Oh, Halo. Okay. It's another one.
See?
It's another one. I can't talk about that.
Let me live, okay. Danny. Let me live.
NDAP. NDA. Yeah, Halo. Yes. No, Halo, like, we can talk about. Halo,
but y'all went to, you know, the Paramount Studio. You know, Paramount. Was it Paramount Studios?
No. Halo? Actually, that was. No. Paramount. It was a Paramount event, but I went to a WB their studio for Dune Awakening and Dune 2.
I was talking about that Dune one. I was talking about the Halo TV series and how video games has transcended into multimedia entertainment. You know, we're going to talk more about other things later in the show. So yeah, you do see some loss in the industry. But I don't know if it's going to be as severe as what we saw in the early 80s. Now, I know when I say early 80s, a lot of people that may be watching this probably don't even weren't even born, right? It's these are conversations for the old folks in the room, like me, Danny, and Paris, if he was here.
Los viejos.
but when you think about it, you had major companies, whether it was Atari or Magnavox, completely, you know, who were at that time, like the leaders of the video game industry, completely left and just left it alone and left it essentially in the hands of Nintendo and Sega to bring it back to where it is today. But when you think about it, back then, $3.2 billion is massive back then. So now let's see what I'm looking at. I'm looking at it now. In 1983, the home video game market revenue in the US was estimated at $3.2 billion, had collapsed to $100 million by 1985. Yeah. Right. And then in 88, with you know, the annual sales for the industry had crept back up to $2.3 billion in the United States. Where is it today? Is it going to drop that bad? I don't know. Considering when you take into account inflation, it's probably almost the same, if not worse. But when you look at the number of companies, I don't know if it's ready for a crash, but I do think that the market is way oversaturated because every company and every, you know, every developer and publisher out there is trying to put out their product. But we've almost gotten to the point where it's quantity over quality, it's substance. The substance of it is missing. And not to say that we need a culling of the overall market or industry, but I think it would be, I think it would serve better if we had better games with a better return to just overall quality. Right. And
agree.
And the, I think because companies are in it for the money, they're seeing the market, what it is, seeing it overtake sports and the Hollywood industry, you know, the movie monster machine. There's other forces or other industries that are impacted as a result of it. So I wouldn't say it's a wholesale crash that we're looking for, but I think it is a mass saturation of the industry. And I think we would be much better off with just quality over quantity. There's just way too many games out there. And look, there's some that come out of the woodwork and just like, you're just blown away and you're surprised because it's such a well done game. But that's again, quality over, you know, the 160, you know, indie games that come out during Summer Games Fest or during the E3 summer period. Some of them are great. A lot of them aren't. And that sometimes it's a hard, bitter pill to swallow because a lot of people put a lot of time, effort, and tears and sweat into these things. I don't know. Maybe I'm just a realist in that point, but it's difficult. It's bad.
Yeah. I know we talked about this last week. You guys listened to last week's episode, but you know, I said it's more of a reset. You know, companies are trying to figure out what's next. You know what I'm saying? So, but a crash, nah. But I'm glad that a lot of the listeners agreed with us that there is no crash coming. So, but thank you for going to the poll and voting. And actually, I'm going to post another one after I finish editing this episode. So now I know today is Mario Day, and just like what? An hour or two ago, it was announced that Illumination and Nintendo, there's a new Mario Brothers sequel movie coming out, and it's coming out April 3rd of 2026. They haven't started animation yet, but it was pretty cool to see the announcement this early. So, very excited about that. Another thing I want to mention too, because I also attended this last week. Is a we went to like a it was like a digital event where we got to see the cast of a Fallout TV series, and it shows the movie trailer of the TV. I mean, not movie trailer, the trailer for the TV series that's coming out actually in a couple weeks. It looks good. It looks really good. Just want to see what your people, you know, thoughts about the Fallout TV series. It looks very good, really well done. And I also got to see the reaction from the folks online. People are excited to see this, man. I was very surprised when it was announced that this is going to be released, like all the episodes on day one instead of the weekly ones like Fallout and other shows and stuff. So, but Pete, before we go to the next topic, are you excited to check out the Fallout TV series? Amazon Prime? You're mute.
All right. I watched them when they came out. I still Pete Productions in the background. I watched them when they Pete came Productions. Out live. I followed the Fallout one. It looks good. And I know it's brought to you by the same people that did, was it Lost? Or no, Westworld. Mm-hmm. So I'm fairly confident in what they're going to deliver. Do we need another end of the world? You know what I mean? Like, do we need another end of the world TV show? As much as I love the Fallout universe and as popular as it is. And maybe this goes back to the conversation of what we talked about before, the oversaturation of video games and everything. Like The Last of Us, End of the World, Fallout, End of the World.
It's nothing wrong with to me, it's all about the content. If the content is good, it's going to make me want to watch or play. It doesn't really, Okay. I'll leave it as that. It's all good. But we're going to talk about other movies later on that also recently came out, like the trailers and stuff. I want to see feedback from P and the listeners and stuff. But all right. So yesterday I was very curious because, the news week has been kind of slow and all that stuff. And yesterday I was like, you know what? I'm going to ask my followers on Twitter to see how bad is their backlog of games. And Pete, I was so surprised the amount of people that said, and I knew there were going to be people going to say, yeah, but the amount of people that were saying, bro, it is so bad. I have games from the last generation that I haven't even finished yet. That's still in my backlog. I think one person said they have games from the 90s. They haven't finished, and it's still part of their backlog of games. I'm like, wow. And I get it. Like right now, me as a parent, I have to play around with my schedule. But I guess I still play. Actually, we were playing for hours. Helldivers 2 yesterday. I'm not saying that we're never gonna play games ever again. But we play games here. It'd be just very smart on when we should play. But reading the amount of people, their responses, I'm like, man, I was very surprised. But here's the part that I'm like, I don't get, where every time there is like a Steam sale, let's just say, even though you have a backlog, you go out there and buy more games because it's on sale, but you never finish the game. You barely play it. I've done that before where I buy a game on Steam and I haven't even played it. Because I'm playing other stuff stuff for the show and content that I have to produce and all that stuff. But how bad is your backlog for you? Is it that bad? like other people out there too or no?
If I go just by my Steam catalog,
yeah,
it's 207 games in total in there, right? I think it makes it doubly difficult because of our place in the industry, right? We're not like most other companies, right? Most others, just as video game fans, right? We don't, we kind of have a requirement to play games a lot more than the regular fan. And that's good and bad. right? Because sometimes you're kind of forced to try to just get through a game just for the sake of getting through to do the review. And oftentimes we don't get to really take our time and enjoy it because A, we're adults, you know? B, we have a family. In your case, you've got a newborn, you know, God bless your soul, but...
Well, now infant, now. It's going to be 4 months next week.
She ain't 1 year old. She's still a newborn. Whatever. So, like, you've got your full-time job, work, etc. You've got bills to pay. You got to take care of the yard. You got to go do groceries. You got to make sure the house is in order. You got to do laundry. Take care of your kids. It's just... It's not the same as when we were kids and we played games for the sake of playing games because that was our escape. And for oftentimes it still is our escape from the day to day. But yeah, going back, like there's some games on here that I have that I will probably never jump back into because sometimes you play a game and it's great, but sometimes, and maybe it is or it isn't for a review, but sometimes you play a game and it's not good and you just... When you're done with it, you're just like, oh god,
you know. I need to know which ones. I could tell you a couple that I haven't even finished at all. But go ahead.
Let's see, Battleborn.
Okay.
There's okay. Four.
Okay.
Carnival Games. I'm just going through. I'm just like literally just scrolling through my thing. Magicka.
Okay.
There's just so many, right?
I can tell you a couple for mine.
Saints Row got out of hell. I love the Saints Row series, but they lost me after three, right? Scum was another one that I thought was going to blow up. But then there's games that you play that you'll go back to playing. Sleeping Dogs is a perfect example for me that I wish they would finally do a two. Give me a second part of that story because that was such a great game.
I'll tell you my list, and this is a couple. Okay, I have a long list, but Like a Dragon, Infinite Wealth, that one just came out recently. I played only a little bit. Stop playing. I'm like a chapter or two away from the ending of Final Fantasy VII Rebirth. I'm almost done with that game. I still haven't finished the new Cyberpunk expansion. Also, towards the end of the game. Very, very close. Another one, RoboCop, which I like that game. That game is not for everyone, but I had a really great time playing it. I like maybe halfway of that. Still haven't finished that one. I got Dave the Diver. Didn't even touch it. Sea of Stars. Haven't touched it yet. It's a list. It's a very long list. Mm-hmm. Very, very long list for me, man. Let me see what else I have here that I haven't even finished yet. Well, I haven't touched Forspoken, and I got that when it came out. Let's see what else I have here. See, with games like Call of Duty, I don't know if this counts, Pete. I never play the single player game. I always just play the multiplayer game on that one. Nice. So I don't know if that counts, but I'm always multiplayer guy. I have like over 100 something hours on. Actually, how many hours? Hold up. I'll tell you right now exactly. I think I have 158 hours just on PC. Just on PC. And I haven't touched the single player game at all. That one. But yeah, it's bad. Actually, I'm going to read you a couple of tweets of replies that people have been sending me, and I'm still getting a lot of replies. All right, this is from George Jimenez. It says, dude, I still haven't beat Zelda Wind Waker yet. That's an old one. I have another one from Jay. He says, I have 50 plus games, part of his backlog. That's a lot. Peter Lopez, bro, I still have games from the 90s that I have to finish. It's bad.
I have a question. What game do you think you have the most hours in?
The most hours?
Yeah.
That's a great question. The most hours on any console and PC?
Any console, any device, and I'm not saying like one franchise. I'm saying one single titular game that you have the most hours in that played nothing but.
Oh, my God. That's a great question. I don't know. It depends because I love quick games. So, like, I play a lot of Tetris, but I also love multiplayer games like Apex Legends, Call of Duty, Halo, Infinite. So I have a lot of hours on that. I don't know, man. I don't know. It could be... how can I find out from the Steam side?
Is there a way for me side, to... I don't know.
Be a way to tell
like me. I'm sure there is. I know for y'all could probably guess which game is mine, right?
Yours is PUBG.
Yeah.
That's like even a question.
3,676 hours.
Ooh, that's a lot, bro.
Like if you take that, you translate, that's like 153 days. That's almost half a year of nonstop play. And that's only on the prime, that's a main server. That does not include the experimental or the test server.
Mm-hmm. So wait, is that surpass Destiny numbers?
Yeah. Oh, I don't know God, if I can. Absolutely, yes. Because I think Destiny, if you took Destiny, even if you combined Xbox 360 and PlayStation and PC, I think I maybe got to 2,000 hours on that. And I've got I think my total was 1,800 hours in total.
Oof.
Yeah.
See, that here's the thing. Like, we don't talk about this. We only talk about, like, you know, the other controversies and all that stuff. And we don't talk about the amount of games that we have, the backlog of games that we have. Like, we don't talk about that stuff, man. And it's interesting hearing about this, man. You know, for those that are listening or watching this, like, I'm very curious. If you have a backlog of games, why are we still buying games? Like, why is it because you got tired of the other one? Maybe you're stuck, you know? And honestly, I'm going to keep it real too, Pete. Like, there's games where I just don't care about the challenge. I'll change it to the difficulty to easy. And there's some, like a game like Returnal or like, you know, stuff like that. I'm like, yo, I'm ready to beat this. I'm going to go all out and I don't change nothing. Like with Alan Wake 2, because I love Alan Wake. I didn't touch nothing. I didn't touch the difficulty on that one at all. And I was playing that like crazy. You know what I'm saying? So if, you know, some people are, they just want to focus on the story and don't care about the challenge. That's why they change the difficulty, you know, but I think overall for me, I'm enjoying these games. I just got to figure out when I could play all these stuff, you know, and finish it, you know. But when you get when you have a game like Helldivers 2, you don't want to wait. You want to keep on going, man. You know, like last night we spent hours playing that, man. So, and actually, I want to get together with a couple people from the GTR community. I want to play Helldivers, man. So hit me up on Discord. Hopefully, we can set something up one of these days. So we could play. So, you should join us, Pete.
We should come up with a night, but I mean, considering you're eight, nine hours in the future, sometimes it's very difficult. I will say though, one OP tool for throwing stratagems in that game, your Stream Deck.
Oh yeah.
If you're playing on PC and you've got a Stream Deck, it's much easier to just press the button on your Stream Deck as a macro and throw your stratagems instead of having to like go, well, I forgot. I think like shift C and then select the one you want to go. Nah, man, just go boom, hit the button on your Stream Deck. Yeah. Done, launched.
Yeah, we gotta play. So. I'm down to get together with a couple people, man. So yeah, very curious about this whole backlog thing. Everybody, make sure to go on Discord. Let's continue the conversation there on our Discord channel and stuff. So now, by the way, before another news that just came out, actually. Couple hours ago, the shout out to Jez at Windows Central. Sea of Thieves is the number one pre-order game on PlayStation 5, and I am loving this news because that proves a point that the whole Twitter bubble about it's bad that these games are coming out to other platforms and everything like that, it's not bad. There's a whole group of people that are excited. They probably were disappointed playing, you know, Skull and Bones, and they want to play a pirate game like that and Sea of Thieves it is, and it's getting a lot of love. A lot of people have been pre-ordering it. And that's an old game for us that already played this on PC and Xbox, you know, but it's really, really cool to see that, man. Again, get off of the Twitter bubble and see that everybody just wants to play games and just want to enjoy games. They don't care about brands. They just want to enjoy games. And the good thing is crossplay. I can't wait to play with other people on PlayStation. We could, you know, start playing and discovering things, man. I love Sea of Thieves. I haven't played in a while, but that was a fun game to play, man, with a group of friends. That was a lot of fun discovering stuff. And we're like, yo, what is this? It was awesome.
One of my favorite videos on Twitch is...
I'm still there. I think that one of the top videos,
me,
right?
Me, you, Paris. I think it was Beaker. And it's like, yeah, you're supposed to go... Like, you're supposed to go, like, bucket water, and then you don't, and then we run aground, and we just sing. It was mayhem and nothing but cursing.
Mayhem.
Yeah. And chaos. But no,
It was fun. See, that's what gaming is all about, man. Gaming is all about having fun. And I'm loving this news, man. So, now, I'm going to play this interview very quickly. This is a very, very short interview because I posted a video version on Twitter. Make sure to go to my profile to see it. It's like 5 minutes or so. Shout out to Reflector Entertainment and also Bandai Namco. They invited me to an event last week, and they showed me Unknown 9 Awakening. And that's a game that's coming out later this year. So I got to see for the first time, the gameplay of the game. Also, there was an announcement where the actress P that played Jennifer on The Witcher, mm-hmm, she's the one that plays the main character in the game.
Hmm.
She's in the.
I thought she looked familiar when I was watching it. I thought she looked familiar. Okay.
Yeah, that's her. That's her. So yeah, I'm gonna play this short audio. It's very short, by the way. So once we come back, we'll talk some more about random stuff here on a very slow news week here on Gamer Tag Radio. We'll be right back after this.
You're listening to Gamer Tag Radio.
Hello, everyone. This is Danny Pena. This time I have a brand new interview with Reflector Entertainment. We talked about the new game called Unknown 9 Awakening back in 2020 during Gamescom opening night live. We got to see the trailer for the first time. Big announcement during that time, right? Gameplay footage for the first time ever. The same time I talked to the team, talked about the story and things you do in the game. And also a big announcement about who's going to be playing the main character of the game. Enjoy.
So that the game name is Unknown 9 Awakening. So it's the story of Aruna, which it's a revenge story. She will be trying to catch the person responsible of the death of her mentor, which is called Vincent. Vincent is at the head of the Ascendant, which is a group of people that are chasing power coming from the fold for their own goods and really to try to get to their own objectives, whatever the cost is. So there is an overall narrative history around it, around the IP and the transmedia. But for the game itself, it's really rented around that premise. Yes, so on the first teaser trailer that was released 3 years ago, we saw Aruna as a child awakening her power for the first time in a dire situations. So the game will take place roughly 10 years later. Well, Aruna will be played more as an adult version of the characters, where she was taken under mentorship of someone that is way more accustomed to the power of the fold, and she will have been on go like how to master her powers. So you will take control of her where she can control some of them, but she has no mastery yet. And that's another trope of the game, is for her to master powers and connection she has with the fold. All the media of the transmedia approach were all designed with a standalone idea. So you don't have to. You will have a full experience that you will understand from A to Z in every of those media. Now, if you want to go take a look at them, though, you will have some sneak peek or ideas or information that you might link together. But it's not needed. You can definitely experience the game by itself or any other media by itself. Yes, so we're really happy to say that Anya Chalotra is playing our main character. So when we know her for multiple, but for a role specifically in a really good series. So Anya really bring all her emotions and the view that she had from a character like Aruna to the game itself. And we're really happy with the result that it brings. It will be releasing this summer, so summer of 2024. And it will be for PS4, 5, for Xbox One and Series, and for PC through Steam.
This is Gamertag Radio. Voicemail at 786-2737-GTR.
All right, Pete. So thanks to, again, Reflector Entertainment for inviting me. And it was really cool to see the game. I didn't get to play the game. They were playing on PC. They were just like doing a presentation and everything like that. So, but it was cool. Really cool event. So, and honestly, there's been a lot of events happening here in LA. A lot of events. Some that are still happening this month. And some that I can't attend because I got other stuff to have to do. But I can't wait to talk about it. There's a couple ones I'm really excited to talk about that we're going to play here on Gamertag in the future. So stay tuned. Stay tuned. All right. So, Pete, the other day, I think it was like 2 weeks ago or so, we got to see the trailer of the new Borderlands movie. And I've been hearing about this even when I was working at G4. I was very curious to see how they were going to make this movie and all that stuff, like if it was going to be good or not. I saw the trailer and I'm kind of like, it's okay. I don't know if I'm hype about it. It looks decent. Like, I didn't get the vibe of like watching The Last of Us, Mario Brothers movie, or now with the Fallout TV series. Like, those got me super excited to watch it, right? With Borderlands, I'm kind of like, it looks fun. I'll watch it, but I'm not like excited. You get what I'm saying? So when you got to see the trailer, you felt the same, or you kind of like,
I was okay actually more it. Excited about that than I was about Fallout, just because it just seemed more fun than doom and gloom. Right. First of all, Kate Blanchett's an amazing actress, right? So I don't doubt she's going to kill it as Lilith. And maybe it's because I just enjoy the Borderlands series a little bit more, especially the first two. Seeing Tiny Tina, I think her name is Ariana Greenblatt. She looks like she's going to nail the Tiny Tina role. Gina Gershon as Mad Moxie. Jamie Lee Curtis is Dr. Patricia something. I don't know about Kevin Hart. Like, I just don't see it. Jack Black, I think, is going to nail it as Claptrap.
He's going to kill it. He's going to
like,
kill it.
100%. Watching the trailer, you get the vibe of Claptrap, right? Like, I think he might have been made for the role of Claptrap. I just liked it because I liked the flash. I liked the color of it. I didn't like the dull gray, blue, brown of Fallout. I'm sure it'll do well. Mm-hmm. Me personally, I'm like, okay, I'm in for Borderlands.
Okay. So we're not on the same page, but that's what podcasting is all about, man. We can't all agree with everything, man. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So yeah, I'll watch it. Like, I had a great time with the, what was the last movie? Like the Dragons one. Oh my God. The RPG, oh my God, the game. What the heck? What's the name of that movie? Now I'm blank. It's on Paramount Plus. Movie. Paramount. Oh my God, I can't believe it. Dungeons and Dragons. There you go. Why the hell is that coming up? That movie was fun. That movie was really, really good. Like, I had a great time watching that movie.
That was the one with Chris Pine, right?
Yeah. But But here's what happened. That came out around when Mario Bros. Was coming out. And of course, people were going to go to Mario Bros. And it took over all the theaters, all the screenings, man. You know, so. But if you go and watch that movie on Paramount Plus or just rent it out in other places, it's really good. I think that's a fun, fun movie. D&D, yeah, man. Fun movie. It was good. It was funny as hell, too, man. Really, really funny. Okay. Anything else, Pete? Anything else we could do?
Like, actually, I have one question from Beaker. He messaged me separately, and I think it's a pretty good question. Kind of relevant.
Oh, okay.
With today being Mario Day or March 10th, I didn't know this. I'm washed. I don't get these things. With today being Mario Day and the Switch celebrating its 7th anniversary, what grade would you give it for the entirety of its lifespan so far? In your opinion, is it one of Nintendo's best consoles?
Yes, 100%. I always thought that NES, the Super NES, is my favorite all-time Nintendo console, but I think this one surpassed it. One, the features, playing on the go, the amount of content that has been released since the release of the console has been great. I think I give it like an A+. And here's the thing. Nintendo is so influential that other companies are now trying to do the whole on-the-go devices and rumors that Xbox is trying to do the same thing. Look, PlayStation just released a in handheld. You can play at home, similar to like the Wii U, I mean, something like that. So Steam Deck, all these devices that is already out was because of Nintendo. Nintendo is doing this the right way, I think. When the Switch came out back 7 years ago, every month there was an exclusive game. Some of those games were very, very new, and some of them was released on the Wii U, but barely a lot of people probably missed it. You know, but a lot of people missed it and barely bought the game. But they ported it on the Switch, and it was like perfect for the Switch. One of those games that was released during that time, but it sold a lot, though, was Mario Kart, right? And they released it, and Nintendo had so much content in there, added in there for DLC, like DLC-wise. And it's a huge success, Mario Odyssey, great, amazing game. Let's talk about Zelda. The two Zelda games that already came out on the Switch, iconic. Both of them, Game of the Year contender. You know, like, Nintendo's been doing great, man. I'm excited for what's next. I know there's been rumblings about when they're gonna announce this and all this stuff, but I'm just excited for whatever's next for Nintendo, man. And I love that Nintendo's doing something totally different than every other gaming company out there. And I know a lot of us will talk about, oh, but it's not. Graphics is not up there. It's not compared to like the PlayStation and Xbox. At the end of the day, the majority of people don't give a fly F about graphics. They care about playing the games, not only on the TV, but also on the go. And there's a lot of games that's been out on that device that has local co-op. A lot of the new consoles has been missing that. Mm-hmm. We got to see that a lot during the last generation. But Nintendo knows that it is important to continue that, man, because where are you going to play your games with, like, with your family, with your kids, with your wife? We don't see that unless you have two consoles and you play online. That's about it, you know? But having a device like that where you get the little Joy-Cons and just play, blah, 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 it's good, man. They nailed it. A+, in my opinion, for me. And great question, by the way.
No. Phenomenal question. I think, and to bring it back to the game crash conversation from the beginning of the show, when you take into consideration the hype around the Switch 2 release, games like Pokemon Legends, ZA coming out, Grand Theft Auto 6 coming out, like it's like you, that's like, that's the one, I think those are things that you're going to see that hold off the quote-unquote crash that's coming in, because you're going to, we're never going to see the amount of the drop in 97% of the industry like we did in 83. Because we've got such massive hype behind Switch 2, Pokemon Legends, Grand Theft Auto 6, and stuff like that behind it to help bolster it from a sales and numbers perspective. And that is going, I think those, at least two of them, Grand Theft Auto 6 and Switch 2, I think are going to propel the industry forward. And remember, I'm not taking into consideration like the yearly Call of Duty that comes out, not taking into consideration like FIFA and WWE and NBA 2K or whatever. Mm-hmm. So because those are tentpole titles that are just always going to just flood the industry with cash. But I mean, I think Grand Theft Auto 6 is just going to break numbers for the next 3 years straight.
Oh, that's going to break numbers. That's not even a question.
It's just going to be breaking numbers. And if you want to see an India, if you want to see an entertainment like crossover, don't be surprised to see a Grand Theft Auto 6 movie or a Grand Theft Auto movie in the works.
I wouldn't be surprised. I wouldn't be surprised at all for that. I think, and I know we also, for those that are listening in our live chat, there's people that brought up a Super Smash Brothers Ultimate. Fantastic game.
Mm-hmm.
Fantastic fighting game. I have a lot of hours. I have over 100 hours.
Splatoon. Another great game.
Yeah, they just released the new expansion for Splatoon 2 just came out. Nintendo nailed it, man. They know what's going on, man. Hey, look. Again, the most influential gaming company in history.
Oh yeah, for sure.
When their first console came out, it had, you know, D-pad and all that stuff, but also had a select start button. Every company started copying them.
Even though they put the B in the wrong spots?
Yeah, because they don't want to be exactly, they don't want to have exactly like Nintendo.
I'm going to bring that up every time I can, okay? Because I think it's a travesty.
I mean,
but look, I'll give credit. I can't remember who it was, but I did receive some responses to that. I think it was either on Twitter or on the Discord. That you can remap with the latest update.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Very, very cool.
Yeah. By the way, before we wrap it up, you know, the other day I went back to my old little consoles, you know, like the Nintendo Classic and the Super NES Classic, and I just wanted to play some games there.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know what's happening, but I find a lot of those games really hard now. And back then I was like, oh, pro. I was like, oof, you know, finish these games and stuff. But now it's like, now it's really hard for me to play those old games. And I tapped out. I'm like, oh, I can't do that, man. I'm not going to say which games it is, but some of these games are hard, man. Jesus Christ. I don't know if it's because I'm getting older or what, but back then I was more, you know, aware and faster when it comes to playing these games. You know, back then the games from like the 80s and 90s, but I'm good. I just want to say that very quick. It's called getting old.
Yep.
Hey, man. Hey. It's all good, man. It's all good. All right, so we're going to wrap it up here. We're going to have our after show here. But everyone, thank you for listening. I am planning to release a special episode next week, on Monday of next week. I'm going to have a guest too. And I'm going somewhere to talk about that.
Traveling.
Stuff that we're going to get to.
Traveling, see. Huh?
Traveling, what? 30 minutes away from here?
Traveling, huh? not the only one, huh?
No, Pete. I'm not traveling. I'm actually going here in LA. We might stay at a hotel locally here because I'm like, you know what? I don't want to be driving around with the fam. So I'm just going to go with the fam, do our thing and all that stuff. But anyways, long story. Stay tuned for next week. We have a pretty cool content coming out. So, all right. Until next week, everyone. Thank you for listening. Peace. We out.
Thanks for listening to Gamertag Radio. Be sure to like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter.